So originally, our plan this Lenten season was to look each Sunday at the lectionary's assigned Hebrew scriptures and gospel readings. So today, in our original plan, we were going to be looking at both 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, and John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. I invite you to read through those passages, maybe sometime this week. And you may remember that that we were going to be looking at throughout Lent as at themes of limitations and human limitations and the limitations of that sin causes. Well, a lot has happened, and this is one of those times when I think at least for now, we need to let go of our plans. I suppose you might say we are giving up our original Lenten plans for Lent. Now today I have to confess that I, like most of you, am filled with questions and concerns. It's been hard keeping up with all that's going on and working on figuring out how to adjust to what is, for at least a little while, this new normal that we're trying to figure out. And I'm guessing a lot of us are exhausted from just trying to keep up and anxious and all of those sorts of things. I know I am. And so I suspect that the last thing we need is a sermon on our limitations. If anything, this past week has been confronting us with that very thing. So as it happens, the lectionary's psalm reading for today, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is, I think, a very appropriate one. It's at least one that I know that I need to hear. It's a familiar psalm. It's Psalm 23. So I am going to read it and offer a few thoughts, but mostly I just want us to let this psalm sink in this week. I will be reading the translation that's found in the New Revised Standard Version, which will sound a little different from the one that I think most of us know when we think of Psalm 23, which is the King James Version. Psalm 23, listen now. 2 and 4, the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So this is a psalm that many of us, many of you, I know, look to as a great source of comfort. And for good reason. This is a great word for us to hear. Many of us know it, or at least parts of it, by heart. It is a good word for us to say, to lean on, to share, to hear, especially in this strange and uncertain and anxious time in which we have been living these past week or two. This is also a psalm that is often used in funeral liturgies. It is a word. It is a promise that we look to in times of loss and grief and mourning. And again, for very good reason, it is a great source of comfort. Or I guess even better, it reminds us and it points us to our great source of comfort, the Lord, the Good Shepherd. And so this morning, what I offer you, what I offer myself, what I offer all of us, is the promise of this psalm. Because the truth is, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But I do know that in these times of worry and fear and uncertainty, all of these turbulent and changing waters that exhaust us, that exhaust us emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually, that there are yet green pastures and still waters to be found. And that even in the midst of this, the Lord promises to restore us and to lead us in right paths for his name's sake. The truth is, we are trying to find paths forward in strange times. But it is also true that there are paths that we are called to, no matter the times or the circumstances, paths of love and not fear. Paths not of self-preservation at all costs, but of loving our neighbor as ourself. Paths of even now, of fellowship and community, perhaps looking very different than what we are used to, but still continuing to pray for one another, choosing to reach out to one another by phone or FaceTime on the computer or sending notes or cards through the mail or waving across the street or across the hall. Checking in with one another and letting others check in on you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I do not know what tomorrow will bring. But I do know that in these times when many of us are grieving, that is what we are doing. Certainly for those who have died from this virus, but also grieving other losses. I think it's important for us to recognize and even name this. The loss of a way of life, at least for the time being, but maybe longer, we don't know. The loss of being able to just meet friends somewhere for dinner or a walk or whatever it is. The loss of opportunities and experiences. School years being interrupted and maybe even cut short. Internships being canceled, things that I know some of you had been planning and working towards and looking forward to for years, just got canceled. Jobs, weddings. I talked with somebody just the other day who has a wedding planned for just about a month or so from now and now is wondering if it's even going to happen. Losing the ability to visit someone in the hospital or in a nursing home. The loss of church fellowship and worship the way that we are used to. And so let me just say that it is okay. In fact, it is important for us to recognize the grief that we are all feeling. maybe for different specific reasons, but there is still a dark valley of grief that we are all feeling and experiencing because of what is going on. And so, family, hear this. Hear this. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We are in the season of Lent here in the church. And one of the things that we recognize in this season, that we often recognize, and especially when we get into Holy Week, we recognize and we lift up the fact that Jesus has walked into the darkest valley. He's walked into the valley of grief with us and for us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And in the midst of it all, even now, family, Jesus is preparing a table for you, for me, for us. Places of nourishment, both along the way and a promise of what awaits. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall pursue me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. I do not know what tomorrow will bring, but I do know that the period, the exclamation mark at the end of it all, is the goodness and mercy of our good shepherd. So I invite you, I invite myself, I'm encouraging all of us, especially in these times, in these coming days, in these weeks, or however long, to look for those moments that God provides, those moments of green pastures and still waters, showing up here and there and each and every day. In the midst of it all, they are there. And have your soul restored. Look for the strength of our good shepherd's rod and staff. They are there. Look for the moments of goodness and mercy. They are there. And look for how our shepherd is leading us, even helping us to shepherd one another during this time. And above all, family, above all, remember. Remember who you are. And remember whose you are. Thanks be to God. Amen.